in perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct, right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Royal Park.
A fighting storm at a time.
He gets inside, well inside.
In any weather you can see a sweeping wind. Listening to the skin, you know, we're behind the chair.
Oh, Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy. And Nick, this is a very special edition of Richmond Tiger Talk. We're trying something new for almost the first time in 5 years. I was thinking after the Geelong game, or even before it, you know, how do we use the bye week? Should we win? And I thought one nice thing we could try is record the experience of, you know, we quite like sitting down and potentially having a beer and just watching the replay together. So we thought we'd do that together, but record it as well and turn it into a podcast so, like, other people could join in the experience of, you know, talking crap while watching a replay of a game that we absolutely loved.
Which we deeply enjoyed. And look, we're making it clear that this is what it's like to watch the replay with us, because if you was watching the game live, particularly with me, the commentary would be fairly repetitive along the lines of, oh my God, we're going to lose, we're going to die, I regret all my life choices, oh my God. Which for 2 hours isn't all that much fun.
No, in fairness, you actually managed to internalise most of that dialogue, so all the rest of the people sitting next to you is experience, and I've done it, is a very silent Nick while your leg shakes uncontrollably.
Yeah, or rocking back and forwards, you know, with the occasional scream of release.
Exactly. So, frankly, that's not much fun, but watching on replay, we relax.
Yeah.
So,
back to being a normal human being again.
Anyway, so...
Well, as normal as it gets.
It's a long game, so... And what we thought we'd do is capture the key moment of the game. So we're starting at the 10-minute mark of the third quarter.
Well, exactly 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, so it's...
Exactly, by the TV clock.
Yep, and so if you've got your AFL app, it's at 1 hour, 22 minutes, and 45 seconds.
And I won't describe how I'm using it, but I'm just going off the game clock on the TV broadcast. And so just to set the table for the game, we all remember, but just to remind people, it was very close to this stage. We were obviously up by a point. The narrative was that in the first half, we were dominating the game by far the more inside 50s, but hadn't fully taken our chances. But in the third quarter, Geelong had started to get on top. And similarly, they hadn't taken all their chances. But if you listen to some commentators afterwards, they're talking in hindsight that they thought Geelong would go on and win it from here because they're an excellent fourth quarter team. So whatever your perspective was, the game was clearly fundamentally in the balance. So, Nick, with that, shall we begin the countdown for the game?
All right. On three, we're going to hit play.
Yep.
One, two, three.
So, yep, Jack's lying on...
lying on top of Tom Lonergan. And if you had to say that, well, Dangerfield on screen as well, they would be two of a fairly short list of Geelong players who didn't have their colours lowered today.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Cochin, brilliant clearance, but unfortunately missed Martin on the outlet, but then follows up. And passes up to Shedder,
To Sherds.
Yeah, who actually probably, sort of 8 times out of 10, would probably kick that goal.
It was that extra little bit of fumbling all day. Oh, I do enjoy this moment. So Nathan Broad making James Parsons look ordinary after Nathan Broad made himself look ordinary for most of the first half was a very quiet but welcome story of the second half.
Yeah, it was absolutely a key moment. So he's starting to establish his dominance at this point, and of course his big moment is coming up. And this is you can see the chest got in the background, and moment to God. Oh, the crowd wasn't tense, Nick. I know we debated this on the post game pod, but I stick to it. It was the most intense crowd I've been in. You know, point taken about 95 was very loud, but
this I think in terms of individual moments that I can remember when we hit the front in. Oh,
that may have been Rioli's best moment for the game.
He did
a key turnover.
He didn't have a kick in the first half, which is obviously less than ideal. He did, you know, he was mentally on though. I felt like he was cracking in.
My daughter's favourite player, by the way.
Yeah, I like that. How do you feel about these little the 15-meter kick to the guy 45 metres out from goal?
I like it because it'll shatter. I liked it at the time. Remember, this was very tense.
There are some
games.
Very attractive Geelong supporters in the background.
Yeah, good point. You know, and that was probably on screen. We have 50% of the present Geelong crowd. maybe 30%. There was such a tense game, and like Shetter came pretty close with that kick, and I was actually quite happy. This was the kind of game where you're happy that you're taking those low percentage shots because you know, you've just got to grind it out. And scoring was such a problem.
The thing is, they do feel like low percentage shots when really they shouldn't. I really, you know, Shane Grigg taking the mark when everyone else falls around him is a very Shane Grigg way of approaching things.
Sean, but yeah, that was partly Rioli deliberately shepherded for him. So you know, it was. It was a Sean Grigg moment, but it was Rioli had a big assist there. Yeah, yep. Ooh, probably should have been a free kick.
Yeah, that should have been a free kick tunneling.
Yeah, but aside from Jack's the ridiculous disallowed hooli goal, pretty much I think the umpires were intimidated by the crowd.
Yeah,
like the 50 hooli got shouldn't have been a 50, but you know, I think the umpire decided he wasn't getting out alive. That this kick is just absolutely, you know. Richmond players don't blind kick like that straight down the middle of the ground. That was a symptom of the pressure we've been putting on.
And look, it was Broad taking that mark, and as if he's lining up to kick this.
I genuinely didn't know because I've never seen him kick long for goals, so I didn't know what he was doing at this point.
I just assumed that with that kicking motion that 50 metres accurately is beyond him. Unlike the man in question with the ball right now, Nick Vlostone, who makes me warm and fuzzy just looking at him.
And could do nothing wrong all day. The interesting thing about this game, like what we won't capture because we only started 3 minutes ago, was how big this goal was because it was such a deadlock at the time. Get in!
Oh! Yes!
That and the next goal that's coming, to me, the two best goals in the game. The next goal that's coming has a bit of dusty magic, so that sprinkles gold dust.
I know, but that, like the level, you know, he's got all the deserved hype, but Nick Vlostone elevating his game like it. I've reacted badly to some suggestions. Oh, we need to win the premiership this year, because other, you know, the AFL will figure out our approach. I don't agree with that at all. I think, you know, the reason why, you know, want us to win the flag this year is we're fit.
Oh, wow, this moment. Ooh. Sorry. Way that Dusty, like the way he just carved a path through there. And, you know, I was, great pressure by Jack. Could have been in the back if the umpire wanted to. Oh, I love this moment so much. The angle wasn't there. No other player could do this. I know it doesn't look like much, but it was just sheer acceleration.
I know. That is an awesome kick.
It is a brilliant kick.
Unfortunately, Shedder's goal kicking this year has been pretty rubbish.
I had two friends, but two guys sitting on either side of me. I was holding both their knees while Shedder was lining up. This is such a big, big, big moment.
We are both enormous Shane Edwards fans, and yeah, he played well, but
and the crowd goes up.
Yeah, that was a moment.
Yeah, we can forgive all the other bad goalkeeping that's taken place. I'm sorry, but I interrupted you.
I was just saying that. Look, we are fit and firing this year, and so you know the opportunity is clearly there. But it doesn't sort of change the basic equation of, you know, we are a very good but not a great team in a year in which there are no great teams. You know, we need to improve 10% in the off season. So there's no magic party trick here. It's just, you know, you've just got to relentlessly try and improve. Oh, Prestia.
The hand pass was not good, but
he's moving, and there is he again. He's moving much more fluently than he was earlier in the year.
I did so enjoy that that tweet by, and we just saw an example of Klingerfield at his best, that person saying that they felt unsafe being at the ground because, you know, at one stage, yeah, they never knew when they were going to be hit by a Dangerfield kick. that was probably the most egregious example of his poor disposal. And, you know, that was actually quite a nice bit of play by him then.
That Geelong can't get a direct, clean passage of play every time they're having to break a tackle or dodge a tackle. So if you're a forward, you're always having to wait, go. Like there's none of that clean, explosive movement.
That's a nice clearance play. Like we didn't.
And that should have been a free kick against Townsend.
Oh
yes, it is.
Yeah, that was a key moment because I scored a goal from here, and we were you know.
Yeah, we were out.
With Dusty with that ball there, we were probably odds on to score a goal. So just going back to the point about is this a moment? Well, yes and no. Like there's lightning in a bottle. Like the Port a couple of years ago, the Bulldogs last year. Port didn't get there, but you know they had that one special season. Bulldogs had last year where they delivered it. So it can go both ways. You know, Port potentially had a grand final team 3 years ago. Clearly didn't kick it, but wasn't a bad shot for a high skill player. So, yes, we've got a great chance this year. We may not get as good a chance. But, you know, if you're competitive and you build a good structure, you might not get it next year, but you might get it the year after. Like, as you say, you get a run with injury, but it's really, to me, the window is probably 3 years until Rance and, like, the key is Rance and Cochin are probably the two.
Yeah, like, at the end of next year, we're looking at, you know, are Grigg and Hooley still going to be playable, which, to be honest, if they're your biggest problems, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, it's Jack Rance and Cochin will be the first to go, and after that, Dusty. But, I think that's your question. I don't think you can definitively say this is the year, but it may be that this is the best chance we have, but it may not be.
Yeah. And we're still, you know, we're not favourites. And still less
likely. It's good to
less
remember.
Likely than more likely, but...
It's certainly as close as we've ever come. Like, it's by far the closest we've come.
I know. I am a middle-aged man, and I, for the first time in my life, registered for grand final tickets today. That shouldn't be the case.
Yeah. It's weird to register for grand final tickets when you don't know whether you're in it. But, you know.
I know. And only after the first week of the finals. Like, not even after the second week of the finals. So Jack Graham, tackle pressure.
Asprey didn't argue the point that much. He sort of knew it was there.
Yeah. Asprey had I reckon Asprey's been beaten maybe twice this year, but yeah, this was maybe one of them.
First, how many shots at goal did he have? Is this and... Like, I mean, he took plenty of marks upfield, which he has been playing upfield a lot, but, you know, you're sort of...
You can often live with, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, he does those dives, which means that... by the way, if you noticed on the mark there, we had a fake person standing on the mark.
That was a bit of synchronized mark action.
Yeah, I think that probably works better not against the professional full forward who probably has kicks for goal sort of a lot, thousand times a month. Yeah, yeah. Probably works. Turn it against one of the mids who sort of
And who says
one shot every three goals?
Who says full-time professional footballers have too much time on their hands?
That's right. And, you know, he his good Melbourne grammar education would have taught him to deal with situations like that.
what he can remember of it.
Yes, his own, of course, yeah. I mean, and he went there because, you know, he's...
I do like the, I just flashed the distance covered stats and with Hooley in the front and Hawkins second. Like, it is, he is a big elite athlete, Hawkins.
He is, but sort of, he was reasonably inconsequential in the game.
Mm.
And maybe that, I mean, look, the inside 50 count was something like plus 30 in our favour, so, you know, it'd probably been a bit unfair by giving him a hard time about that.
Is that about three of the last four Geelong kicks that have... run out of bounds.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to pinpoint.
Exactly, because we're just in their head. Like, you almost wonder...
Joel Sherwood for the... Because, you know, we started watching towards the end of the third quarter. We missed the first 14 times that Joel Sherwood staged for a high free kick. Like, I know that Anthony Miles is also a leading... winner in this category, but
he's, and well, actually, the Joel Sherwood is by far, look at the numbers, he's by far and away the leader. Interesting delivery. I mean, Dangerfield is a star. Interesting choice and kick by Caddy, probably the right thing.
They just flashed that we were even with contested marks, and I reckon that's a... Oh, Caddy should have held that. I reckon that's a pretty big win for us, given, you know...
This is one of my favourite broad moments of the game, the way he picked up that half volley.
That was great.
And Shedder's beautiful fake hand pass, but, you know, he still offloaded and gained a few metres. And he created a contest where we had plenty of guys around.
I know. I just love it when we have both Butler and Rioli around the ball. Like then,
and, that was very nice.
The ball's not coming out clean.
No. Oh, go Dusty! Go Dusty! Go Dusty! Go. At this stage, I was starting to stand up in the crowd, but I was crouching a bit. Go Jack!
Go Jack! Oh, look at that! Yeah!
I managed to miss Prestia in the goal square till he marked it. I don't know. Well, you know, he just sort of stuck out the back because he's short. And this is part of what makes Dusty valuable. Prestia said in interviews afterwards that he broke to receive the hand pass. He just saw Dustin Munn 50-50 and he thought Dusty had went, so he broke at that point. So he actually said he cheated a bit based on the fact that Dustin Martin's a star. So, you know, that's what Dusty gives you.
I saw some stat of broken tackles in the AFL that... Dusty had 68 and the next highest total was something like 24.
Yeah, exactly. It's a critical contest issue, not so much a broken tackle, but, you know, his teammates can rely on it consistently, and that's what got the goal. Like, Prestia got that through hard running and cheating.
But, Jack Graham, again at that contest, just with the pressure.
Oh, this was such a great moment. Because, you know, it was an arm wrestle, and then suddenly we've kicked three goals late. They got one replying sort of cheapy, but, you know, you could just feel we weren't giving in. We were up for the fight. Like, this is such a different feeling.
There is a lot of nervous but still on a high people.
Such a different feeling to Carlton, North Melbourne, because there was no sign of slackening. There was no sign, you know, they didn't have loose players in the back line. Like, the game plan was holding up. Anyway, Nick, let's go forward to the last quarter. I'm just going to bring that up while we're live. It's all getting very real, isn't it? Buying grand final tickets.
And potentially ridiculously expensive grand final tickets.
I'm already down. I'm going with a friend, it's Cat 1 tickets, so it's quite expensive. But you know, cheaper that. So I've just paused it, Nick, as the bounce goes up. So just let me know when you're there, and we'll talk.
All right. Well, I'm just they're just walking to position in mind. But yeah, I'd almost prefer standing room so I could pace around nervously. But
The problem with standing room is you almost always get obscured view.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
We'll see
bounce,
how we go.
Bounce going up.
Okay, let's go. It is exciting, but Nank, as he often does, sort of beaten all day, but staying to last quarter, starting to counter.
Yeah, he's a fourth quarter warrior. Velocity standing under the ball with 100 kilos of Tom Hawkins bearing down on him. Geelong player not being able to take the first option because there's no option that hasn't got a manned up Richmond player. And
yeah, that's
looking sore.
That's one thing people say about our pressure is that, you know, it's not stupid pressure. We don't just, you know, we go to the receiver as well as to the
we've got so much better at that.
Danger looked without kicking then.
You
know, this is the best player in the AFL by far statistically, panicking, kicking off one foot, not looking where he's kicking. It's just, we're just so in their head.
Yep. No, I did. I enjoyed the Prestia, just wasn't buying any of that then.
Jim, starting to,
mm.
I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Like, we're having this debate the other day about, Cochin and how he's so much better than the 2015 version.
Mm.
And the 2015 version was obviously well off his Brownlow winning 2013 version. I sometimes wonder a bit whether the reason why, I mean, he's clearly a much better leader. You know, everyone, you can just see it, but you know, anyone who's sort of listens to the informal messages.
All the anecdotal stuff is that he's got a lot better. Oh, Dan Rioli. Dusty.
This was unusually for Jack. He didn't capture the moment here.
No,
by missing that shot. Because that's a
kick he can do as well.
Yeah, I would have. It was a pretty crappy effort. He wasn't even that close. Like you know, I would expect Jack on average to do better than that. He kicks a nice one later. But yeah, I wonder a bit of the Cochin improvement is he's not trying to be the number one mid dominant player anymore. He's now more playing a role, like in the first quarter. Beautiful. Like he's just a hard, toughing, contested ball player who doesn't have to be the star getting 30 possession. He hunts as well as. I don't know how I feel about that kick by Preston. He could have waited it slightly better. Oh, this is such a great moment. Dustin Martin, you are a star! That is such a hard kick! Grigor,
is it fair to say that the only shot for goal that we feel really relaxed about Sean Grigg taking is the one from the goal square?
I think that is a nice encapsulation of Sean Grigg's career. You know, nice bit of hard running to get to clear to receive an open kick from a much more talented teammate. Dustin Martin, who apparently he's very close to. But, you know, we have many times defended Sean Grigg on this podcast, so, you know, I say this not to criticise Grigor.
No. And, but, you know, when I talked about replacing him, it's just, you know, he turns 30 next year, so it's, you know, it's that time when you have to start worrying about AFL footballs, although, you know, Lonergan has a fantastic game, and he's 33, so it's not an automatic drop dead. But you do have to start to worry.
Yeah, especially for an outside mid. You know, he might be able to manage it, but yeah, it's not easy.
Well, he's had very few injuries, which helps his chances, I think.
I wonder with Cochin's improvement partly is just his playing with
Kane Lambert.
I'm such a Kane Lambert fan. I don't know whether you were meaning that in a positive or in a negative way because he missed the shot.
Oh, no. I was... No, that was... that was joy. If he'd kicked that, that would have brought the house down. I mean,
Do you think, Nick, if people who go to the football in onesies, do they wear that to the pub afterwards or do they go straight home? I've often wondered about that.
I don't know. Because
I often, like, because I go wearing a jersey, and I often think that, you know, it's a bit inconvenient. After the game, it's a bit inconvenient wearing a jersey. It limits your pub / nightclub options.
Well, I know. I mean, if you assume that, oh, that was very nicely done by Grimes.
Yeah, it was.
to feign it. You know, I assume, and perhaps this is unfair, that these are people for whom, you know, like a lot of people, getting the train, sometimes a fair way home. Jack Graham on Dangerfield again.
Yeah.
With both arms around him as he went for the ball.
Did you say Nank's ruck work then? Just dismissed. Was it Smith? I'm not sure, but it was too
Smith.
Strong.
Oh, dusty.
But that was a dusty 2-on-1, which he forced into a win. Again, brilliant from Dusty, who then, of course, sets up the shot for Butler, as we so expect him to be. And that's the sort of the unselfish side of Dusty.
He's running.
He could have shot then, too.
Dusty is, of course, playing against someone who is taller and heavier than he is, and it looks like an athletic mismatch.
He got a standing ovation at this point in the many, many moving moments. One of the many moving crowd moments that this game had.
Yep.
Dan Butler.
Ugh.
Oh, so annoying, because he's a good shot for goal.
I know.
But that was, he leant back, you know, it's just...
I know. You know, you can almost see the mental thought process. Oh, I just want to, you know, get it all in a line, guide it straight, but...
There was a big moment, like, in fairness to him, you know, that was, you know, it was pretty much the sealer in a low-scoring game.
I know. 15 minutes left, 22 points, and they've scored 33 for the whole day. It's there to be won.
I could have done without Brando diving forward then, looking for the push in the back, but, you know.
On a day where thankfully there weren't paying a lot of Tiggy Touchwood things other than Jack Shepherd. So, you know, Joel Selwood's plea for free kicks almost entirely went unanswered.
But I love this tackle, because they were out there. Oh, actually, all the Geelong player needed to do was tap the ball on, like a Richmond player would have. One of the commentators said, and Richmond were tapping the ball on. Clearly, it was a coaching instruction. They hadn't done this before. Yes, they had. You've just clearly watched three Richmond games all year.
It was a nice bit of tackling technique, though,
that Butler
grabbed his left hand, so that sort of there's much less leverage to get the ball out.
Man, wouldn't that have been awesome if Rioli... Yeah. Oh, it was a very hard shot, but wouldn't that have been awesome if Rioli kicked it?
I know. He was looking good this part of the game. Like, he just had that... He was just, you know, he was in sync with the contest. He knew where to go, how to get front and centre.
Yeah, I didn't get my moment, though. You know, Nick Olsen, I was hoping that the week off...
I know. That would have been That would have been another very popular moment in a night of extremely popular moments.
Graham to Lambo, Lambo's been gold on these snaps.
I know.
He just does not miss. And, Nick, I think it was this moment. I'm pretty safe to say, I think I started to cry at this moment because it was just.
Yup.
And then you realise, you can see it on the screen, like, God. Yeah. There's just such a
hugs.
Such a relief.
So many hugs.
There was just one thing. I wish he'd been to the punt road end.
I know. So Jack Graham's first three senior games, we've won by an average of 57 points. I'm betting that's the best first three games for a Richmond player in a very long time.
Yeah. It might have been, you know, there might have been some other players who in the 80s, but by the way,
it's been a while.
One thing we're just to put the crowd reaction. Oh, Dusty. Dimmer said the other day that actually they said to him, you know, Dusty, you don't always have to fend people off.
I know, I enjoyed that.
He goes looking for them. Another thumping kick. Towner. That's why
how in that moment was somebody not running with Dusty in the expectation that they'd look to feed him with a handball?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, Zach Guthrie, who went down in the third quarter, he was a loss for him because he was pretty much the only one who had the athleticism to be even competitive with Dusty.
There was just nothing more predictable than Tanner was going to kick this.
And I just hope the fairy dust has another 2 weeks to run.
Yeah, only needs 2 more weeks. Because, yeah, this is... I don't think it's sustainable, but, oh, God, it's been great.
No, look, he's, like everyone remembers Shane Ellen, even, you know, 20 years later, despite a otherwise completely unremarkable career, because he, you know, he had a great game in the finals. Oh, in the grand final, so, yeah.
And good on him, like, you know, when he's down, he's a great pressure player. And he's a very admirable guy.
Mm.
Made a good speech.
This centre bounce, Grigg is giving away 16 centimetres to his opponent.
And not without surprise, we have actually lost. We would have lost the clearance, but the ruckman was too slow getting it up, and everything's going right, so we got the smother.
Ugh. I know, and just pressure.
That was actually a rare moment where a Geelong player got half a moment to think in the back line.
Yeah, and it took a Richmond player.
But again, look completely in his head. Who was that kick to?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, that's a shank.
It's a shank, and this was hilarious. Like, at this moment, absolutely nothing can go
wrong. I know. Yeah, I mean, if the game plan is Big Specky by Jason Castagna, you wonder what plan B is.
But, you know, he does get up there and he does go to contest. And you know what, Nick? I just think they're going to put up the no change sign again.
I know. Yeah, me too. Unless there's an injury we don't know about, I just can't. And, you know, Tyson Stengel had a great game. Shai Bolton's been playing well. Yeah, it just seems like too much of a risk to change the team.
And he had the most pressure racks, I believe, the three. So they've got the players drinking the Kool-Aid, playing unselfish football, concentrating on the defensive side, not just the offensive side. Even the defensive side more than kicking goals. You can't do that. You can't get people to drink that Kool-Aid without then having a selection match. Like, you've got to play Georgia.
Mm.
And, you know, it was even more, I found it more noticeable live than it was at the ground, that some of his fumbles were absolute, great scenes. The crowd just going nuts. So someone who's not even an AFL fan, has only ever watched 2 games of AFL in her life, but knows me, watched the game and said she started to cry just watching the Richmond fans react, because it was so obviously emotional. Was
ducking, actually, the second one he did deserve.
Yeah. Anyway, but the point is, like, you just can't. You got to respect this. Like, and George's fumbles were some of them were terrible in the first half. One or two of them are okay, but two of them sort of broke down play. And like, the difference was Shedder there. His clean hands on that half volley there were just amazing.
I know.
It
was a nice little bit of work by Nick Bloston, actually. It's an underrated skill to Dusty.
Yeah, you cannot be stopped, Dusty.
To look like you're going for the ball, but really you're just bodying your opponent out of the way. Like, that is a skill.
Oh, he's very good one-on-one marking contest. But Dusty is just putting on a bit of extra
emphasis
at this point.
Has he got more score involvements than Geelong at this stage?
Interesting. I'll check that. Definitely. Well, because they had a lot of points, so he might have more goal involvements.
Goal assists.
He did leave Richmond with 12. He had 2 more than the next, who was Lambeau and Jack. Both had 10 each.
That's got to be feeling pretty good for Caddy. Like, he didn't leave Geelong in acrimonious circumstances. I mean, it was a bit. You know, I think he felt. A bit aggrieved to be put up in trade talks, but you know, it was part of modern AFL. But yeah, I think he's feeling pretty good about himself right now.
Yeah, I'm hoping, because his career set shots are not as bad as his 2017. So, yeah, irrational psychologist is hoping that good shot for goal will give him a bit of confidence for next week.
Tom Hawkins inspiring his teammates with his leadership.
Yes. yeah, imagine that, having a sort of iconic, famous full forward.
Primadonna father son. Yeah. Spraying his teammates. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad we never had that at Richmond.
Yeah. Actually, going back and watching the West Coast game, they were doing a lot of arguing with each other.
Yeah.
So just one courageous mark by Rance.
Yes.
I don't think he got tunneled, but, you know, part of me feels... No, he didn't. No, but at the ground, I was slightly annoyed in between clapping what was an incredibly courageous act. And we're getting the free kicks this stage.
Yeah, finally. Like, the total number of free kicks for the game was pretty... Yeah, it was about... I think it was low 30s. That's pretty good for a final.
Actually put that on a highlight wheel because Dusty lost a 1-1.
I know. Yeah, Vlossy.
Yeah, that's not where you want as a forward if you're Harry Jones. One thing, one of the sort of unsung stories of this, Chris Scott didn't seem to do much of a job coaching.
No. Look, a mutual friend suggested listening to a Geelong podcast, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But apparently they were pretty critical of his coaching.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of be weird. Like, I've heard this with Bill Simmons as well. You know, he often seems to criticise Doc Rivers' coaching, which admittedly seems quite justified in the case of the LA Clippers. But, you know, I always sort of feel like if Dimmer won a premiership, like if Dimmer wins a premiership, I could forgive an awful lot of his cack-handed, half-assed experiments where he moves a backman into the forward line and perseveres with it for far too long. Actually, in fairness, I was thinking this the other day. I haven't mentioned on the podcast yet that, like, so this year's example was Boston, but he's done it like 8 times before. But he gave up on it. To his credit, he gave up on it more quickly with Flossie than he did with other players. Mm. Like, he gave it a couple of games and he thought, no, it's not working. And unfortunately, Flossie got injured, so we didn't see the most egregious example was Morris, who got like 12 games as a small forward.
I don't know if it was 12. I think it may have felt like more than it actually was.
It was definitely like it was a few. It was definitely more than 8.
It was definitely a few. Yeah.
And because when you can't practice games,
Broad actually tackled someone during that hit out.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wonder how long I appreciate Cats fans are probably a bit annoyed because they've been bad in finals, but Dimmer wins the flag. I'm prepared to give him a big fat leave pass for doing things for at least a couple of years.
Yeah. Oh, I think, you know, Tony Jewell lasted one more year after the 1980 premiership. And look, I think it's probably seen as being a premiership of overwhelming talent, even though we didn't actually finish top that year. It was such a dominant grand final and all that maybe Jewell doesn't get as much credit as he deserves. But, you know, you're a premiership coach. It's, you know...
Just getting back to the game, you notice that Nank is providing a decent contest down that way, down that far wing. Like, so, I think that's the third or fourth time.
No, what I was saying before, that contested marks are pretty even. That's a win. Like, that's something they're good at, and we're neutralising mainly through Nank doing a power of work.
Yeah, and we got to do this like in finals and last quarter. You know, you're not always going to get good running options, so you've got to be able to go down the line. Yeah. At this stage, admittedly, the sting's gone out of the game, but we are doing it fairly well.
Yeah, a lot of tired boys. What that last contest, it was just another moment of Jack Graham, I don't think it's quite offensive. Offensively, hasn't quite got the pace of the game.
Yeah. Probably pretty tired by this point, too.
Yeah, probably pretty tired. But, yeah. And he's just a heartbeat too slow sometimes. But, you know, he's in his third game. I'm pretty confident that'll get better.
Yeah, I wonder what he's doing in the week off. Dusty. I guess he was, in that passage, he was sold out of trouble. Yep. Once again, Shedder is one of our best tackles. Underrated.
I know. I think Ben Lennon particularly has suffered for it, but tackling has been a big part of selection decisions.
Pressure, I think, more than tackling. Like
that actually should have been a free kick against Nank. Like, he grabbed it out of the air and didn't dispose of it cleanly, but he is.
Was that another Clangerfield out of bounds?
Yep. Yes, it was.
He's just... Like, he's a supremely good player. We were just so in his head.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's... And part of that is just him being under pressure, but particularly just when Geelong players looking up, there is not an available option. Like, I always defended Brandon Ellis. People saying he got a lot of cheap ball, and he did get a lot of cheap ball, but he got a lot of cheap ball because he was the one running his ass off to make a free man on the opposite wing. Yeah, and I've just...
Have Geelong scored for you yet? Just tell me when Harry Taylor kicks a goal.
No, I'm just behind you for some reason.
Yeah, anyway, so Geelong just get a goal against the run of play.
I know, and in a day where I think it's fair to say that Harry Taylor got beaten pretty comprehensively. Actually, I'm mildly surprised they didn't try and, like you say about Chris Scott's coaching, they didn't really try and mix it up very much in the course of the day.
They didn't. It was one of the things, the simplistic thing, but, you know, they left Harry Taylor up there against, just sort of dying against Rance, when Rance was not only beating him like a drum, but was impacting on contests all across the back line. So just tell me when they bounced the ball to restart after that goal. Like, that's another questionable thing. I noticed for this week,
just bounced.
They brought back Menzel the game. You know, I'm not actually sure he would have helped in this game.
Geelong had a deficit of athleticism in this game. Oh, Caddy. I love it. People trying to chase Dan Butler. It just makes
But that was a really good play. That was big body play. That was, that was mature, mid-20s. Yeah. Play by Caddy. Like, that's why we paid him for moments like that.
I know. Yeah, no, he's given it, and particularly he's coming back from injury as well. He was feeling very confident.
Yeah, I think he strikes me as a fairly confident
player. Yeah. Top ten draft pick. I think he's probably fair to say he's been paid well in the course of his career.
Yeah, I think that's very true.
39 points.
Yeah, but up by almost 20 in the contested possessions. Oh, actually, more than 20, sorry. 25.
Yeah.
Another sort of...
Pressure.
Another Prestia kick, which is sort of okay, but not quite as good as you'd hope. I love it. Look how hard the sport is a sport. Even, and this was, because this was played against Asprey. You couldn't see it on the replay, but... Live at the ground, exactly the same thing happened to Asprey, that he kicked the ball off the ground accidentally while I was running and got played deliberate, so that the crowd is right, consistent for your purposes.
As is normal this time of year, I'm obsessively following off-season rumours, and the one that absolutely makes...
I love that tap by Jack.
Oh!
Yeah! You star!
Yeah!
I think... Oh, the crowd. I just love it. I think
look at how many people are around him. Like,
I was about to say, I think Cochin had the most, if they kept stats for goal hugs, Cochin definitely was
living with him. Even let himself crack a smile there.
Throughout the game, despite all those hard pressure acts and that beautiful pirouette goal, none of his hair moved.
I think he's got a fair bit of help with that.
Yeah. Whatever Cochin does with his hair, it's pretty locked in.
Caddy on Dangerfield at that one.
Yeah, the thing about our team is...
And again, Geelong players getting monstered. Dusty not getting tackled.
Yeah, almost. Almost. That Hawley kicks the ball wildly off the ground, and of course it lands in Lambeau's hands. Like, at that point, you know, everything that could go
wrong. Well, and that, you know, that three Richmond players could have taken that one on their chest. Yep. But I'm happy it landed with Jack.
Yeah, especially since it kicks it. And, it was a nice reward for effort for the game overall, which was quite, you know, he had 10 score assists. It was quite a good game, but it wasn't.
Yeah,
it was a contemporary Jack game.
Yeah, he is a really smart footballer. Like, the, you know, you couldn't, if we were going with one key forward with, you know, say a better version. Ooh, some patches in the crowd at this end.
Yep.
Yes.
Jack.
You know, if you had a more conventional average key forward, I just don't think it'd work.
Even someone who was, you know, and let's be perfectly honest, Jack's probably not in his prime anymore as an athlete. I think even, like, in Jack 2 or 3 years ago doesn't play this role as well.
Yeah, he's always been smart, but... I think the coherence of the forward line, like, it, you know, what we were saying about, you know, is this our year? Well, it is. You know, the team is sort of tweaked constantly throughout the year, and I don't think any of us quite saw a lineup featuring Broad, Graham, and Townsend being on the verge of a grand final. But
you know, I think we said it in one of those podcasts we deleted and never posted.
That, clever
time. Oh, it was so good by Lambeau then, that little tap.
That, you know, the defence has been very solid, the forward line's been very solid, and other guys have been able to come in and out of the team and help out. Right? That's a good way to be.
Yeah, the team is getting pretty settled. That's the one thing that slightly worries me, you know, because, of course, by the way, that was a beautiful mark by Hawley. The TV camera doesn't fully capture it, but it was a shank kink which was spinning really awkwardly, and he was coming across it, so it was very hard to mark it. He wasn't behind it. He was coming across it, so he had to one grab it, and he took it beautifully in his hands. It was a great mark. And, you know, you could hear the crowd applaud him.
That was very nice that... I assume Butler meant it.
He did, because he's a soccer player. He does it all the time with his foot.
Yeah, and Dusty. Joel Selwood stayed for a high free kick then.
What a surprise.
Yep. Love the pressure. Zach Tui, the best current Irish player in the AFL. For what it's worth.
He's a very good player.
Mm.
I actually heard the other day someone analysing Geelong saying they want to win a premiership while Dangerfield, Selwood, and Tui are in their prime. Mm.
Well, they gave up the first round draft pick that they gave up, ended up going to Carlton to pay for Marchbank, to pay for Delidio. So, sort of, you know, three of the four parts of that equation are feeling pretty good about the. Ooh. Yeah, it was all gravy at this point.
It was. So, you know, been asked about who we wanted Geelong and the Swans. So, it's important to remember. Well, A, it's lay down for me because if Geelong go in straight sets, the pick's better. So, absolutely want them. Two, we've played great footy against. We didn't beat the Swans, but we
matched up with them. Yep.
We should have beaten them. You know, the Cats, you can't, like, we had a good game this week, but, you know, they had a few injuries and we've matched up poorly against them in the past. Like, and Scott might do a better job coaching next time. To me, it's lay down. We wanted the Cats to out so we get the better draft pick, and I'm quite happy playing the Swans because Rance is such a great buddy matchup.
That's true. There's the big four on the bench.
Yeah.
Do you have a... I would clearly... Oh, Rioli.
Oh, see, now he's come into his own, but, yeah, again, misses the shot.
If I... Like, of the of GWS, George, of GWS and West Coast, yeah, I prefer West Coast to win because I'd feel very confident about our pace and speed at the MCG.
Oh, let's lay down, because the problem is GWS had latent capacity for all those ridiculous draft picks.
I know.
Like, I'll be so angry. There'll be a lot of AFL tinfoil hat conspiracy tweets if we lose to them.
Oh, so they lose Cameron and Mummy, but they bring back in, you know, Taranto, who's a second pick in the draft. Like, they just have these endless waves of high draft picks.
Yeah. So it's just, I despise the GWS. So I'd much rather play at West Coast because, like, losing to the GWS would be the worst thing in the world because it's like losing. Like, it just feels like the fix is in.
It'd be a cold metallic taste. And grand final. Let's focus on
the siren's about to go. So, let's focus on
Let's
the
give
positive.
It the moment.
Yeah.
Townsend and the Rock.
Actually, I'm surprised we didn't do that more often. He's bigger body than.
Do you reckon when Townsend was growing up playing juniors for Leighton, although apparently he played more rugby league than AFL, he played in the ruck much?
Yeah. Siren's about to go.
Yes.
Lovely by Dusty.
Yeah, so talk me through your hugs at this moment.
I've actually got a scar on my face from one of the guys that was just hugs flying everywhere and just poked me in the cheek accidentally. Probably my favourite moment, which we won't do on the replay, was when we all linked arms when the players were singing in the room and we linked arms like the players did and sung along. I'm sure it's very difficult to sing along because they sing at a faster tempo.
Yeah.
The thing was, because it was clear for 15 minutes that we were going to win, that it wasn't the usual, the siren being the relief. It was more the siren was the start of the next stage of the celebrations.
I know. Oh. Just relentless good times.
It was, but you know, you can see no one's left at this stage, how intense the crowd is. I don't know why we're getting shots of B grade Geelong players. it was a pretty amazing moment. And you know, at this stage they're saying hello, but the crowd's already probably through their first edition of Tigerland and in full celebration mode and hanging around. And God, it was a great crowd, Nick. The way we booed Geelong when they came out, I hope we can recapture that for whoever we're playing next.
Well, look, I think I am confident in the Tiger faithful, regardless of opponent. But particularly, you know, GWS are a pretty solid 16-point favourites. I reckon the faithful will find it in them to boo Team AFL.
Yes, just one last thing I was going to say about why we want to play the West Coast Eagles, and they might get knick-knack back, which, I mean, knick-knack racking against Nank won't be pretty.
No, I'd be pretty confident that Nank could work him over by the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but basically, by that stage, West Coast will have played a very tough game that went down to the wire, last game of the season. They would have travelled to Port, travelled to Sydney, and then travelled to Melbourne in three consecutive weeks. That's a tough travel schedule.
And playing at a game that ground that they haven't played well as well. Yeah, I want some of that. Before we go, I just wanted to, big shout out to the Richmond VFL boys. They've got they're still on the journey as well. They've got Box Hill, who've sort of been a bit like the Geelong of the VFL in recent years. Always a perennial power, but I think the VFL team also playing very well, fit and firing. Yeah, they've got a good chance.
Yeah, good luck to them. They've got a one club thing going, so even Dusty's coming to the VFL, so should be exciting. Thing is, with a much bigger crowd there, one thing that was noticeable if you used to go to VFL practice games is You'll never see, you know, there might be only a couple of hundred people there, but 20 of them will be extremely attractive women, which are the reserves players' girlfriends. But, yep. You know, that effect might be diluted by
he was focusing on the $5 cold cans of beer.
Anyway, you know I'm a huge fan of AFL football. Unfortunately, I won't be there at the Box Hill game, but I look forward to watching the replay. All right, Nick, that wraps it up.
All right. Well, thanks to everyone who's stuck it out. I've deeply enjoyed watching this again, and hopefully you've enjoyed listening to it.
I'm Andy.
I'm Nick. We're Richmond Tiger Talk.